Church, it is great to see you today.
Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church of Christ. I do want to say thank you to all of those who have stood before us and led us in our worship today. Thank you for all of those who were able to teach our Bible classes this morning. It is an awesome opportunity to be able to gather at this time now and talk more about our God and I. Appreciate Ken Murphy's words. Very wise man. As we think about what we've been talking about the last couple weeks, about how awesome our God is, today I want to conclude this series of lessons in talking about our relationship with Him. You'll notice on the screen behind me it says, our God, our awesome God, then there's a comma, in Christ. Now let me say from the outset, our God, whether He is our God or not, you understand what I mean? Whether I am in Christ or not, our God will always be an awesome God. God will always be Jehovah. He will always be Yahweh. But what I want you to understand today in this is He's not our awesome God if we're not in Christ. And that is the key to understanding this entire book, this entire lesson. We can talk about the many amazing qualities of God, and I guess if we were here for weeks upon years, we couldn't still talk about the awesome qualities of God. We couldn't do it the justice it deserves. We can talk about how much He loves us and how much He's done for us and how much He's willing to do for us. But all of that would be for naught if today I left here outside of Jesus Christ. Grady came and he talked about Jesus and he talked about the blood and that precious blood in his prayer that covers a multitude of sins. Well, it's that blood today that puts us in that right relationship with God. You see, our God, He is so holy, as we mentioned in one of the previous lessons. We cannot be in His presence today without Christ. Without Jesus Christ, it is impossible for us to be in the presence of God. That's why it is so critical. It was so critical for Christ to come and for Christ to be tempted in all points as we are, to bleed, to suffer, to die, only to go into a grave dead, but to come out alive. You see, because Christ came out alive, we too can be victorious today. We too can have life. So today, at the outset of this, I'll get to this, I'll conclude it when we get to the end, but I do want you to be thinking about where you are. Who is your Lord today? Or let me ask, what is your Lord today? Is the Lord of your life our awesome God? If He is the Lord of your life, then you are in a saved relationship through the blood of Jesus Christ. But if He is not, then why not today? Why not today make things right in the sight of God so that our awesome God can be your God? He can be the one who reigns in your life. Again, we are studying the book of Ephesians. We are talking about how awesome our God is. The Apostle Paul certainly recognized it, didn't he? He obviously knew God. He knew the law of God. He was a scholar in teaching the law, but it was without Christ. When Christ came and He died on the cross and He resurrected from the grave and the church came into existence, you remember what Paul did. Paul went everywhere he could persecuting the church because he thought he was doing that which was right. But remember now, he was outside of Christ. But what happened on that road to Damascus? He saw the light, didn't he? As he was going there to persecute Christians, Jesus Christ revealed Himself to him as he was blinded by that light, and He reminded him he needed to go into the city to hear and the things he must do. Of course, Ananias was going to teach him, and he did teach him. He was baptized. He got a little something to eat, and he went straightway into those synagogues and such and started teaching Jesus as the Christ. You see, what was the difference? He's now in Christ. And because he was in Christ, whether he was beaten, whether he was stoned and lived through it, whether he was shipwrecked, whether he was in danger after danger after danger, whether he was in prison, no matter what, he was always willing to put in a good word for Jesus Christ because he recognized how awesome God was. And because of that, he penned great books of the Bible, a lot of our New Testament, right? And one of those books is the book of Ephesians. Today will be a more unique sermon than I normally preach because even though I believe we spend time in the Word in all my sermons, today we'll spend quite a bit of time reading from the book of Ephesians just because I can't do it better justice than the way Paul already wrote it. But I want to give you some things today that we can draw from Scripture as we conclude how this series of lessons about our awesome God. I want you to think about these things. I want you to think about being in Christ. I want you to think about the blessings that come from being in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, I want you to be in Christ after our service today, after we extend the invitation today. Because here's why. In Christ, number one, we draw near to God. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read together verses 11 through 22. The sermon text comes straight from these words. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Again, in Christ now, we draw near to God. Therefore, remember that you, remember who he's writing to, once Gentiles in the flesh. Isn't that all of us? If we're not Jew in here, we're Gentile, right? That means we were outside of the chosen race, the chosen generation, the chosen people. Now, here's the good news about it. The Gentiles were grafted in to the branch. They were grafted into the vine. We became part of Jesus Christ. But couldn't we say the same about us, that we were Gentiles in the flesh? We were in sin. We were without Christ. That's what he's writing to them, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. Verse 12, that at the time you were without Christ. What happens today if you're outside of Christ? Well, as Paul says, you're aliens. Being aliens or strangers from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Do you want that today? Do we want that today? Listen to what he said again. We are outside of God's Israel today. What is God's Israel today? The church, right? It's his chosen people. Remember, he said, we are a chosen generation. But what happens if we are outside of Christ today? We have no promise. We have no hope. And we have no God. Because we are in the world. Now, we have a God, but it's not Jehovah God. Now, verse 13. Here's the beautiful thing. I've underlined this twice, right? But now, in Christ, Jesus, you who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Think about it now. This is what he said. He said, you were outside of Christ. You were strangers to the commonwealth of Israel. You were a pilgrim. You were a journeyman. You had no hope. You had no God. You had no promise. He said, but once you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, once you were baptized and put in Christ, now you have drawn near to our awesome God. Isn't that a beautiful way to think of life? Doesn't that message still preach today? It better. Today, if I want to plug into something, there are outlets on this stage. We try to keep our little children's fingers from touching those outlets, right? Why? Because there's power. So what do I do if I want to run a vacuum cleaner or a drill or something? I plug into that power. Today, if you want to truly plug into the power, then you've got to get in Christ. We've got to be in Christ. Here's what it does, having abolished verse 15. I'm sorry, go back to 14. For he himself is our peace. Anybody want peace in their life today? You know, we talk about what Murph said, our God and I. He talked about in that song, the things of this earth, the anxieties of this earth, the things that can weigh us down. There's a lot of anxiety out there. There's a lot of stress. As he said, in our jobs and our fun and everything we do. But in Christ is peace. In Christ is peace. Who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Jesus Christ tore down the wall of separation. Take yourselves back. Take your minds back now. We're Gentiles outside the commonwealth of Israel. But under the Old Testament pattern of worship, they had the tabernacle. And they set up the tabernacle wherever they were wandering. And you remember that inside the tabernacle was the holy place and the holy of holies. The high priest would enter. He'd wash himself. He'd take the blood. He'd enter into the holy place, where's the table of showbread, the candlestick, and et cetera. And then all of a sudden there was that veil, right? That curtain. That middle wall of separation that only the high priest could enter. What happens if you entered it and I entered it? We died. You see, that separated the common from the holy. Jesus Christ on the cross tore that separation down. He became our high priest. And because he is our high priest today, we can enter into a relationship with God through him. And what happens? Our awesome God is standing before us today. He's waiting today to make us no longer strangers, wanderers. He wants us to draw near. You remember the Hebrew writer? We know Hebrews 10:25, right? Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but so much more as you see the day approaching. Right? Don't forsake going to worship. We preach that. But again, before that, it talks about why we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Here's why. We come together, number one, the Hebrew writer said, to draw near to God. Today, when you came to worship, you didn't come here. If you did, now we need to rethink some things. You should not be here today because you don't want to get your name put on a list where somebody's going to call you, write you a card or whatever, send you a text, send you a message or what. You just came here to check off. This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm really going to zone out the whole time I'm here. I'm going to think about work. I'm going to think about hobbies. I'm going to think about everything else. So I'm just going to, I'm here. I'm in the pew. They saw me. I'm checking my name off the list. If that's why we came today, folks, we need to rethink that. You see, that kind of mindset leads me to forsake the assembly. The reason I'm here today is to draw near to God. There are other reasons, certainly. To hold fast, to get our strength, to build up our strength on our confession of hope, and to stir up love and good works. Those are the three things he said. But number one, I came here to draw near to God. How do I draw near to God? By being in Christ. So today, if my mindset is, I just came here for every other reason but to draw near to God, then maybe I need to think of where my relationship with Christ is. You know, if you're in a relationship with someone, you love them, you treat them the right way, they're part of you, especially if they're your spouse. The two became one. Many would fight over their spouse, fight to keep them, fight to defend them, those kinds of things. But it's when that relationship struggles and that relationship starts getting separated is when bad things happen in marriages. When people start stepping outside of that covenant. Well, today, if I have stepped outside the marriage of my marriage to Jesus Christ, then my whole reasoning for worship has changed. Sunday school doesn't matter. Worship doesn't matter. Fellowship doesn't matter. Wednesday night doesn't matter. Bible study doesn't matter. I'm just doing it to be seen, to be checked off. We have an awesome God. I believe Paul, I believe so many others paint how awesome God is. But our awesome God cannot be our awesome God if we're outside of Christ. And that's why it's so important today to examine where we are. Secondly, this morning, as we talk about our awesome God, we're going to see that in Christ is where the extraordinary happens. Turn in your Bibles now, just a page over to Ephesians 3. Let's look together at verses 14 through 21. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Now remember, as we read this, we're going to see that if I'm in Christ, extraordinary things are going to happen. We already see that we draw near to God. Now verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. That sounds pretty awesome right there. To be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now do not miss this verse. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What happens if I'm in Christ today? Extraordinary things. Now, let me say this. Sometimes we, as Christians, we might think our faith is deep and rich, but when the fire turns up, our faith might seem a little shallow. Maybe there's a lot of reasons behind that. Maybe we think, oh, God's not going to do that for me, or God's not willing to do that for me, or what have you. But at the end of the day, as Christians, I don't want us to get caught up in little dreams. I want us to dream as big as we possibly can. I want us to dream and just know that if we are in Christ and it is part of His will, that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You see, if I have that mindset, if right now you are outside of Christ, I want you to hear what I'm saying. I want you to hear what Paul wrote. God, our awesome God, is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or even think. So if you're outside of Christ and you're thinking, man, I really like for my life to be better. I really like for my job to be, or open up another door for me to have a better job. Or I really like to my family to get back together and my relationship with my spouse to be better and all whatever. Fill in the blank. If you can think it, He can do exceedingly above all that you ask or think. You see, the extraordinary happens inside of Jesus Christ. When we launch into the deep, at His command, is when the nets fill up with fish. You see, there are so many things against us today. There's so much that is trying to drive us today. Folks, I have seen the extraordinary happen at Azalea City. Through these COVID years, through all of these shutdowns, through everything that's gone on, you all have been a beautiful blessing. But it all goes to the glory of our God. It all goes because He's the one that can make the extraordinary happen. Go back and look at those Old Testament stories that are not fables. He saved the whole world in a floating vessel that He gave the instructions for. When so many were trying to get Baal to answer their prayers, Elijah even found humor in it, didn't he? But then God rained down fire. There are so many stories in the Old Testament. There are so many stories in the New Testament where our God has done extraordinary things. That same God is still God today. And He's still on the throne. You might think He's not on the throne in your life, and He may not be. But it's not because He doesn't want to be. It's because we've asked Him to leave. We've shoved Him away. That's why at the outset of this, I ask you to think about your relationship with God. We can fill this place up if we all adopt the mindset that our God, our awesome God, can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, but we've got to be in Christ. Thirdly, this morning, as we look at the amazing things that our God can do, I want you to think about this. In Christ, we are made new. Turn in your Bibles another page over to chapter 4. This time it's verses 17 through verse 6 of chapter 5. Join me now as we read together beginning in verse 17. What happens? In Christ, we are made new. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord. There's that phrase again, right? This is in Christ, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. All right, here's what he's saying now. Let me break it down for you. He said, outside of Christ, there's lewdness, there's sin, there's all these bad things. He said, but today, if you are in Christ, this is what you're going to do. You're going to put off, verse 22, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. I love that, the old man. Now, I know he's talking about the old self, but let me talk to our more mature members for a moment. And listen, we've got great mature members here who are leaders, who are doing great things. But let me say, if you're in that category and you've been a Christian for a long time, let me ask you today, are you closer to God today than you were a few years ago? You see, I am observing this. I'm not saying necessarily here, but I am observing there are people that are growing older that for whatever reason are getting worse spiritually. You know, and I don't know if you think we arrive at a certain point or what have you, but let me say, no matter what age we are, we better be growing closer to Christ. I mean, it just makes sense, doesn't it? My attitude, my reactions, my mouth, my actions, everything. We got to put it off. He says, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Think about how better this world will be if we had more people being like this. Nor give place to the devil. That's a challenge, isn't it? But we can't even give place to him. Don't give room to him. Verse 28, let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. How about this one? Let no corrupt word. Now, we might think that that's just profanity, but it's not. Any word that's corrupt shouldn't come, especially if we mean it in that way. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness... Listen, this world's bitter. This world is vinegar. I have to drink apple cider vinegar every day, and some people I've talked to, they said, hey, I kind of like it. I think they're weird. He knows who I'm talking about because I just had that conversation with him. That's my brother. But listen, it's disgusting. No matter how much you put, I mean, I have to close my nose to drink it. Why? Because it's bitter. This world's full of vinegar. But in Christ, we got to get rid of that bitterness. Wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice and be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another even as God in Christ forgave you. Act like there's no chapter break now. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Where are we spiritually? You see, that's an answer that we've got to look at that man or woman who we are in our seats in the mirror and say, am I getting better or am I getting worse? Have I put away these things? Because here's what happens. When I put off the old and I'm immersed into Jesus Christ, God contacts me with His blood, I become a part of God. I become a part of Christ. I become a joint heir. I come up out of that water. I'm no longer old me. I'm a new man. And because we are new, there are certain things we've got to give up if I want to experience our awesome God. But it leads me to one last point this morning. In Christ, we are protected. The final point comes from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Paul writes, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It's important to note. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Here it is. He said, you want to be clothed with Christ. But what happens when we clothe ourselves with Christ, when we put on that whole armor of God? We are protected. We're protected. And here's what it is. He said, gird your waist with truth. I think about it this way. Maybe it'll help you. The center of my body, there close to it, is my waist. In the center of my life needs to be the truth of God. It needs to, I know my life needs to center around His truth. If my life is centering around my work, if my life is centering around my family, if my life is centering around my hobbies or my children's hobbies or whatever, if that's the center of my life, then our awesome God is not our God. Center your life in the truth. He said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Why would we put on the breastplate of righteousness? Because right here is a major organ. It's the heart where Christ, we read earlier, should be dwelling. If I do not protect Christ, if I do not protect my heart, then Satan can pierce it right through. So what do I protect it with? Righteousness. What is righteousness? Doing right in the sight of God. Jesus Christ was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. It's one time in all Scripture that God cried out from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Why? Because He was fulfilling all righteousness. He talked about standing on the gospel of peace, having your feet shod with the gospel of peace. What are you standing on today? Right now, if you're not standing on the gospel of peace, you're standing in war. You're standing in conflict. You're standing in trouble, in struggles. Get that junk out of your life today and stand in peace. He talked about the helmet of salvation. Our brains, we got to protect them. Our minds, we must protect them. So I put on this helmet. What does this helmet do? I think about heaven. I think about my future. I think about salvation. I think about dwelling with God one day. I don't have room for junk. I get the junk out, I put God in. He talks about the shield of faith. We got to have something that maybe somewhere else is unprotected. We can shield it off. Will we do it in faith? How do we grow our faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We get in the book, we read it, we study it. If you want to know more about Christ, get in His book. You want to know more about God, get in His book. What does it do? Notice what He said. He said, it quenches all the fiery darts. He said, take up the sword of the Spirit, right? Those go hand in hand. It helps me have faith. It helps me attack the devil. Jesus countered every one of Satan's arguments with Scripture, the right Scripture, in the right context. We need to counter every one of Satan's battles with Scripture. Get behind me, Satan, right? Remember, resist the devil, and what will he do? He'll flee from you. But then he talked about we have one more weapon, and that's prayer. Balance it all in prayer. Today, as I think about our awesome God, and I think about what He's done for us, I think about how He's given Jesus Christ so that we can draw near to Him, so that we can be protected by Him, so the extraordinary can happen, and so that I can be a new man. Speaking of new man, here's what Paul wrote to the church at Rome. He wrote what Gabriel read to us. He started out by asking a question, right? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. He said, did you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ's death, we're baptized into Christ. We're baptized into Christ's death, right? Today, behind me right here is a wall, yes, but behind that wall is water. And it's water that represents a grave. That when I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, after I've repented of my sins, I can be immersed in that water, baptized into Christ's death, buried with Him, where God does the work. He contacts me with the blood of Jesus. What happens when I come up out of that water? We are born to walk in newness of life. So how do you get in Christ? That's how. How do you experience our awesome God? By being in Christ. Today, where are you? Are you in Christ? Or are you outside Him? Today, if you're outside Him, let's get inside it. And let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.